Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good Tuesday afternoon to everyone, and welcome to the John Quintero Show here on 97.3 The Fan. Hope everyone off to a great start. Great show yesterday, and we got a bang-up show today. I will tell you, tomorrow, make sure to write it down on a little piece of paper, put it in your wallet or a daily plan or whatever. Tomorrow at 12:35, former Oklahoma head football coach Bob Stoops going to join me on the program tomorrow. He's got a new book out, and we'll talk with Coach Stoops tomorrow at 12:35. Our guest today, I think you'll find him rather interesting, to say the least. We just don't book guests to book guests. We try to get information. That's what this show's all about. We have a little fun. We give away prizes, and We like to give out a lot of information. Coming up today at 12:35, for your listening pleasure, our old buddy Ryan Leaf, the former Charger number one draft choice, going to join us at 12:35. Ryan's got a podcast out on the Believe Network. It covers Pac-12 football. And also was hired last summer to be a member of ESPN. He does games on ESPNU and on ESPN2. So Ryan Leaf going to join me at 12:35. Ryan was just this past weekend inducted into the Washington State Hall of Fame, so we'll look forward to catching up with him. At 1:35, a really good guy, a guy that's been managing a long time in the minor leagues, and he's got the Sod Poodles there in Amarillo in the Texas League Championship. They actually open up tonight, game one in Amarillo against Tulsa. Philip Wellman going to join us. We talked to him about Taylor Trammell. We'll talk to him about Luis Patino, Mackenzie Gore, and some of the other prospects down there in AA. And then at 2:35 today, veteran writer for the Union Tribune who covers the Aztecs, Kirk Kenny, will join me on the program. And, of course, we got Bench the Coach coming up at right about 1:50. I want to get to phone calls today. We had some Aztec fans weigh in early yesterday, but we're going to get to the Padres today. Yesterday, we didn't talk a lot of Padre baseball coming off the 2 out of 3 wins over the Colorado Rockies, but we will get into Padre baseball today as the season continues to wind down. But I want to get those phone numbers out to you because I love to get your phone calls on a variety of different sports. Yesterday, we were on the air. We had the breaking news from our buddy Arash Markazi up there in Los Angeles regarding Lynn Swann announcing his resignation. And it looks like the new lady president up there wants to bring in her own leadership group, so we'll have to wait and see exactly what USC has on the docket. I would certainly think Clay Helton, who's off to a great start right now at 2-0, and the Trojans go to BYU this Saturday. You got to keep winning football games because anytime you bring in a new athletic director, that person, whether male or female, they normally want to bring in their own coach. So going to be interesting to watch that USC situation. Our phone numbers, love to hear from you today, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get right to the Padres because last night, I'll be honest, I was going back and forth. I was watching those two NFL games and two pretty good games. I mean, that first game was unbelievable. The way it ended, how New Orleans ended up winning on that 58-yard field goal. And then the Raiders showed up last night, and they played a heck of a ball game. Derek Carr was fantastic. The young rookie running back out of Alabama, Josh Jacobs, was great last night, and they had some great performances. But has anybody seen Mike Mayock yet? I was looking for Mayock on the sidelines at the end of the game and didn't see him. I saw Gruden run over to the black hole and high-five a bunch of people and hug people and all that good stuff. And, you know, I sent out a tweet last night regarding the Raiders. And, of course, growing up in San Diego, you hate the Raiders. But the one thing I've always appreciated with the Raiders are their fans. And I got to tell you, last night, opening night, the last opening night at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, the Raider fans came out, and they did a hell of a job last night. A hell of a job. They were into it. And I was trying to think, you know, four football seasons ago, how we felt about what was going on with the San Diego Chargers. And the Charger fans gave them great support. But the Raiders have been dragged through the mud the last several years, and they know this is the last year of Raider football in Oakland, yet they came out and they were as loud as ever, and they were rewarded with a win last night. Heck of a win by the Oakland Raiders. But let's get to our San Diego Padres. Boy, you talk about a ball club right now that's limping to the finish line. And I know the Cubs are a good team, but the Cubs are an awful team on the road. And they don't have Javi Baez. No, by the way, did you read the story on Javi Baez about how he's probably going to be out the remainder of the year? There is a chance he could come back if they get into the playoffs. But did you see how Javi Baez hurt himself? Like I always yell and scream, and nobody ever wants to listen to me on this, including baseball executives and managers. He got hurt. He hurt his thumb, head first sliding again. Go feet first, please. Go feet first. But anyways, Baez is out. Chris Bryant's out. Addison Russell's out. So what do the Cubs do? They bring up a kid out of Stanford who was a freshman at Stanford when Cal Quantrill, last night's starting pitcher, was there pitching his final year before the Padres made him a number one draft pick. Nico Hoerner. He came up, and I'm sure he was the post-game guest on the Cubs radio network last night. How about this for a major league debut? Along with making a couple of great defensive plays last night, he went 3-for-5, a triple, 4 RBIs. Not a bad way to break in, considering he was at home, figuring he was going to the Arizona Fall League for the second straight year, but they needed help, so they called him. He got off his couch. He flew to San Diego, got 3 hits last night, one of those hits being a triple, and drove in those 4 runs. Schwarber hit his 35th homer. Nick Castellanos may have been the best pickup of anyone at the trading deadline. He rocked his 14th homer last night in a Cubs uniform, and the Cubs win the ballgame, going away last night 10-2. We got to talk about Cal Quantrill. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm a Cal Quantrill fan. But I think, and Andy talked about it after the game last night. We're going to hear Andy's comments on Quantrill here in a minute. For me, I'm shutting down Cal Quantrill. The only way he's pitching again is coming out of the bullpen. Because if you look at his numbers, which we did, Cal Quantrill, over the last 30 days, is 1-4. In 25 innings pitched, he's got a 10.44 ERA, and batters are hitting .321 against him right now. Now, I also went a little bit deeper. Cal Quantrill, in his last 3 major league starts, he's pitched only 13 2/3 innings. He's given up 28 hits and 24 earned runs, along with 4 home runs. I think the kid's tired myself. I went back and looked at what he did in the minor leagues this year. He threw 35 2/3 innings in the minor leagues already this year in the big leagues. In his first go-round at the big leagues, 95 innings, that goes to 130 2/3. 130 2/3 for Cal Quantrill. I think the kid's tired. I mean, we know he's a much better pitcher than we've seen the last 3 times out. Can you imagine that? He has given up 24 runs in the last 13 2/3 innings. And last night, the Padres, they were never really in the game. I know they cut it to 3-2, and then boom, Schwarber comes up, bangs one out of the ballpark, it's 4-2, and then the route was on. The Padres got out hit last night 15-9. But here's Andy Green talking about Cal Quantrill's performance last night.
First inning, you know, I thought the stuff was pretty good. Pitch to Castellanos wasn't a bad pitch. It's probably not his forte, getting a pitch up and in. He's been driving stuff down, kind of left it right on the edge, which isn't a bad spot, but it was belt line and put a good swing on it. Thought for the next few innings, it was relatively solid, and then, you know, kind of wheels came off there in the 5th inning.
Is it a fatigue thing possibly at this point?
No. Execution, trying to find a little bit more swing and miss against the left-handed dominant lineups he's looking at.
See, that's the one thing that I thought Cal Quantrill was doing a great job of, was mixing and matching, adding, subtracting off of his fastball, hitting his spots. I mean, I think he's a really savvy young pitcher. But I disagree with Andy. I think he's a little bit tired right now. You don't have those numbers unless you're fatigued and not being able to do the things you would like to be able to do. Now, here's Andy also talking about what Cal needs to do to return to what we consider Cal Quantrill form.
I think for him, it's continued to find kind of that answer against left-handed bats. There's some righties who got some decent swings off of him today. That's been really, really rare. So for him to continue to fight against lefties, like look at Castellanos' swing, Hoerner's swing. Those are like right-handed guys. That's happened so infrequently for him that I think like the main thing is continue to work on attacking lefties.
Well, you got to work on that. There's no doubt about it. And every once in a while, it's okay to dust a guy off and, you know, not make him feel so comfortable there at the plate. Now, tonight, they're going to go at it again. You got a guy that's pitching really well. His ERA's right at 4 for the Cubbies, but he's really had a great second half, and that's the veteran left-hander, Jose Quintana. He comes in tonight with a 13-8 record on the year, and the Padres are going to counter with young 23-year-old right-hander Ronald Bolaños, who 0-1 in his first Major League start. It'll be his second Major League start. He looked pretty good the first time out. You know, last night, I mean, they went to the bullpen. Yardley, you know, the young 29-year-old rookie, he came in 2/3 of an inning last night, gave up a hit. Robbie Erlen got cuffed around, 1 inning, 3 hits, 2 earned runs. Javi Guerra, good to see him back out on the mound. Hey, we had Darren Balsley on last week, and I'm not giving up on Javi Guerra. This guy just learned to pitch and made the conversion at the end of spring training. He got really cuffed around in that first debut last week. I'm not giving up on a guy that can throw 97, 98 miles an hour and is just kind of learning the trade of being a pitcher. One inning last night, a hit, a walk, a strikeout. Margavich came in, 1 inning, a strikeout. Gerardo Reyes came in, finished it up, 1 inning and a couple of strikeouts last night. I'll tell you the guy that's making a push. How about Nick Martini? Another big night for Martini. He is really hit. I don't think he's the answer. You know, he's not the answer to be a starting outfielder next year, but I do think he probably ends up coming to camp and has an opportunity to make the ball club. But Martini last night, of the Padres' 9 hits, Martini had 3 of them, 3 for 5 in the short time he's been with the Padres, hitting .304 right now. And we're going to get into Manny Machado. We're going to talk about Will Myers. I got to tell you, Will Myers playing some pretty good baseball. But when we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. We'll continue to talk a little bit of Padres coming up. Bottom of the hour, 12:35. We're going to talk with Ryan Leaf. Yes, Ryan Leaf will join the coach, John Quintero, here on 97.3 The Fan. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coach John Quintero, Mondays through Fridays, 12 to 3, right here on 97.3 The Fan. 12:20 on 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Quintero with you to 3 o'clock today. And then we'll get you a 3-hour dose of Gwynn and Chris. They'll be out at the ballpark today. Boy, Chris Ello doing the post-game show last night. He was texting me back and forth, giving me different line scores last night from the ball game. And, boy, that was a tough one last night. Believe me, I've done 98 lost seasons before on the post-game show. It's not easy. And Chris and Braden doing a heck of a job. And hopefully, just hopefully, our ball club's going to be a lot better next year. That's what they're telling us, but we got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. Hey, I want to remind everyone you can join 97.3 The Fan September 21st at the American Heart Association San Diego Heart and Stroke Walk. Together we'll save lives. Learn more at sdheartwalk.org. Know a lot about that. My 10-year anniversary of my heart attack's coming up here shortly, and actually got a little appointment later with the cardiologist. Everything's well. Everything's well. And, you know, I got to say to you fans, I know a lot of people, I mean, time flies. And I can't tell you how many people on a weekly basis, no matter where I go, the ballpark or 7-Eleven, or if I'm watching a soccer game for my grandkids, people always say, Coach, how you feeling? I feel great. And, boy, I'll tell you what, you talk about a breath of fresh air walking into this radio station every day with the people that I work with. Boy, I got another lot of years left with me on the radio. In fact, they're going to probably have to kick me out of here, and that's probably the way I'll go. I'll wait till they kick me out, but I have no plans to retire, just so you fans out there, because I know people have asked me about that the last few years because I took a couple of years off, but that was a personal issue, and everything well, and very happy to be here at 97.3 The Fan, and this time slot 12 to 3 is absolutely perfect for me. Our phone number, love to hear from you, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Very excited about my guests coming up at 12:35, because I was right in the middle of it when Ryan Leaf was drafted in 98, and he was here for 3 years, and boy, it was tough. But you know what? He always gave us something to talk about, I can tell you, on the radio. But Ryan Leaf, hey, like a lot of us, some more than others, have had a very interesting journey his last 21 years. He spent 32 months incarcerated. We'll ask him about that. You know, what were his thoughts when he was sitting in jail for 32 months? He's engaged. He has a little boy that's, almost 2 years old right now. He was inducted into the Washington State Hall of Fame last weekend. The week before that, he was at Tennessee calling the Georgia State-Tennessee game. He got an opportunity to visit with Peyton Manning. We're going to talk to him about that. Looking forward to visiting with Ryan Leaf coming up at 12:35. Then we're going to talk to Sod Poodles manager Philip Wellman at 1:35 as they get ready there in Amarillo to try to win a Texas League championship. Game one of the best of five tonight against Tulsa, and the first two games will be in Amarillo. And then we're going to talk Aztec football. Aztec fans were fired up yesterday. They were fired up yesterday, but that lasted about an hour into the program. And now they're, you know, on with their week and getting ready for New Mexico State. You know, the other thing, I was looking in the paper. The Aztec game this week, it's a night game in Las Cruces. That's going to be another game that's not on TV. And it's not going to be on Facebook, I don't think. So we got to talk to Kirk Kenny a little bit about the Aztecs getting on TV a little bit more for these non-conference games. But I want to get back to the Padres. We got so many things to talk about with the Padres. And I know some of you out there have kind of waved the white flag and said, hey, you know, we'll talk about the Padres when they do something during the winter and getting ready in January and then heading to spring training in February. But you know what? This is, to me, is a very critical time right now for this ball club. I think it's a very critical time for the manager, Andy Green. He's got to win some ball games. But Will Myers, who's been a guy that we really haven't been able to figure out the last couple of years. But Will Myers right now, last 30 days, hitting .308 with a .352 slugging percentage and a .352 on-base percentage, .477 slugging percentage, 1-for-3 last night, drove in a run, playing good baseball. I mean, Will's playing good baseball. Think about where Hunter Renfroe is right now. Hunter Renfroe's not even getting on the field right now. He's been so bad since the All-Star break. I mean, Hunter Renfroe's hitting like .170. Since the All-Star break. But then you've got Will Myers, who I think is playing some pretty good baseball right now. Jesse Agler was on this morning with Ben and Woods. And here's what Jesse had to say on Will Myers and his appeal to other teams right now.
I had a track coach in high school, and he said the worst word you can use to describe somebody is potential, because it means they're not doing what they should be doing. You know, and it's a little harsh, but I think that's a little bit, you know, kind of like where we've been with Will Myers. Like, we know this is in him. We've seen it before, the first half of 2016, what he's going through right now. He's an exceptional athlete. He is an unbelievably talented baseball player. And for whatever reason or reasons, you know, he's just never put together, you know, a full 6 months of a regular season at this level or anything close to it. And so, like, if I'm another team, maybe a team on the verge or one of these playoff or pseudo playoff teams, he's a really interesting guy to me. And you're right. Like, you got to work out the money and you got to work out, you know, what you're sending back in return, and all those things can be discussed. But like, I if I'm a general manager of another team and he kind of fits generally something I might need, I'm interested. I really am, because, you know, maybe I think I can fix him or my guys can get him going or whatever. And at the end of the day, if I'm the Padres, I'm saying, all right, if we don't trade this guy, like, we still know that he can go crazy at any moment, and maybe it will click and maybe he'll get it figured out. I think he's still young enough and he's shown enough at the big league level that you have to have not necessarily the confidence that he's going to do it, but the knowledge that it's a possibility. And everybody pulls for Will. They like Will. They want Will to succeed. I'm certainly in that camp. So, you know, I don't think it's like time to give up on the guy, as frustrating as this year has been.
Well, I think what Jesse had to say there, and again, he was on Ben and Woods this morning. I couldn't agree with him more. Will Myers, and, you know, it's easy when you're sitting behind a microphone. It's easy to sit back here and bury guys when they're playing poorly. I never once buried Will Myers, because I like Will Myers. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I do know him a little bit. I think he's a good guy. I think he works hard. I think when he was going through the struggles earlier in the year, until he's come out of it recently, he was working and working and working and maybe working too hard. The other thing about Will Myers, just by knowing him a little bit and talking to him, I think he might be a guy, it's paralysis by analysis with him. I think you just give Will a bat, send him up to the plate, and let him hit. And don't, you know, boggle his mind with a bunch of stats, or they might do this or they might do that on you on a 2-1 count or a 3-1 count. I'll never forget. And I don't know if that's it or not, But I will tell you a story. When Kevin Kuzmanoff was playing here, and Jim LaFever, everyone knows who Jim LaFever is, I think. Jim LaFever was a great Dodger. I think 1965, he was the rookie of the year for the Dodgers, went on, coached, managed in the big leagues, and eventually, towards the end of his coaching career, ended up in San Diego here for a short time as a hitting coach. And Kevin Kuzmanoff, who played some really good baseball for the San Diego Padres, he couldn't deal with LaFever. Because LaFever would come up and get right in your face and go, okay, Kevin, on a 2-1 pitch, they're going to do this. On a 2-2 pitch, they're going to try to do this. A 3-2 pitch, they're going to do this. Finally, after a while, Kuzmanoff, in no short terms, basically told LaFever, hey, just let me hit. Just back off and let me hit. Now, he used a little bit different verbiage than I used right there, but just let me hit. And I think Will Myers, just knowing him a little bit and having interviewed him and talked to him around the batting cage, I think he might be one of those guys, the more information you give him, the more it screws him up. Just let him get the bat, go to the plate. He doesn't use batting gloves. Get some pine tar on your hand. Throw some dirt on your hand. Wipe it off. Go in there and rake. And right now, Will Myers is playing some pretty good baseball for the San Diego Padres. The problem about moving Will Myers, and this is why when I talk to somebody early in the year, I go, what are you going to do with Will Myers? And the comment from a Padre executive was, we got to get him better. Well, you got to get him better for two reasons. Number one, because you got him for the next 3 years for $60 million total. And if you get better, maybe you could move him. But then I start looking at the – I mean, seriously, if you're out there right now and you can tell me who you think should be the Padres' starting outfield next year – of the guys that are on this team right now, would you please give me a call? Because I'll be honest, I have no idea. Hunter Renfro's not a slam dunk. In fact, I don't think he'll be here. I think Will Myers will be here. Manny Margot, I don't know if he's your everyday center fielder. They're not playing Jankowski at all. Nick Martini's a nice piece, but he's not going to win you a division title. I mean, you talk about Franchi Cordero, he can't stay healthy. Taylor Trammell got hot towards the end of the double-A season, but he needs another year of seasoning. I mean, can anybody out there right now tell me who the opening day outfielder is going to be for the Padres in 2020? Because I absolutely have zero idea at this time. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a guy that at one point in time was probably public enemy number one in San Diego. Ryan Leaf will join me next on 97.3 The Fan. 12:36 the time. Coach John Quintero with you to 3 o'clock, and then we'll head out to Petco Park. Gwen and Chris will have you from 3 until 6, and then 6:10 we got the Padre pregame show. 7:10 will be the Padres and the Cubbies, game two of a four-game series. But right now we're going to head out and catch up with a gentleman that I covered back when he was a Charger back in 1998, 99, and 2000. Now doing a great job working on the Believe Network. He's got a podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, host of Pac-12 Football on that Believe Podcast Network, also broadcasting with ESPN as well. Ryan Leaf joins me on 97.3 The Fan. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Coach. How you doing?
Doing really well. Hey, congratulations. You got a lot of really positive things going on in your life, and I think people that have known you over the years are all real happy for you.
Well, I really appreciate that. Yeah, there's a ton of gratitude in the Leaf household these days, and it's all because of the shift we made about 4.5 years ago and being a different person. The individual you knew 20-some years ago just didn't get it. I thought it was all about football, but it's definitely not all about football. It's about people. It's about relationships, and I'm really glad to be in the place I'm in right now.
Hey, Ryan, how do you look back at your time in San Diego now? I mean, obviously Charger fans were disappointed. The organization was disappointed. I think probably when you look back, you're disappointed, but how do you move on from that?
Well, I didn't for a long time. Right. And it took me to some pretty dark places. I just felt like I disappointed so many people, myself, my family. And I just felt like a failure. And where in fact, I wasn't any of those things. It was just a tough stretch in somebody's life. There's just a lot of expectations placed on somebody drafted so high. And I wanted to be the best possible player I could for the San Diego Chargers. I wasn't in the right mindset to be that guy. And unfortunately, it caused some heartache for a lot of people. But they rebounded and they got some pretty great quarterbacks there after me and a special running back as well. So it just took me some time. I had to be humbled in a way that brought me back to the person that I knew I could be, and others that knew me well knew I could be. And it just took more time than it was expected, but it's a life journey just like anybody else's. It just, mine was kind of played out in the public realm a lot more.
Ryan Leaf, my guest on 97.3 The Fan. I do want to ask you about, because you did serve some time in prison, and I was trying to think last night, knowing you were coming on, I want to say that I saw you in like 2012, or I can't remember exactly. You were in San Diego. I saw you in the studio. We gave one another a big hug, and we talked, and then all of a sudden, bingo, you got yourself in trouble again, and you ended up serving 32 months in prison. What was that like, and what was going through your mind when you're sitting there?
Well, in 2012, I was down in San Diego. Yeah, I was down there for the Washington State San Diego State game at one point, and I had to go do some radiation for a brain tumor that I had surgery on. And during that process, I was not doing well, and the doctor asked if he could prescribe some painkillers, and instead of telling him I had a path with it. I thought I deserved it. I thought everybody else who goes through a medical situation like this, you know, gets it. Why can't I? Well, I'm different because I'm a drug addict, and that's the difference. And it just shows you that, you know, what this disease can do to anybody. You could be clean for 30 years. You could be clean for, in my case, almost 7.5 years now. And if you're not continuously doing the things you're supposed to do, that disease will rear its ugly head and get you right back in the same spot. So you got to be vigilant about what you do every single day. And that process led me to a prison cell. And, you know, the crazy thing about going to prison in this country is it's like another society. It really is. We're the most populated prison system in the world. It's not a deterrent. You know, I had a flat screen TV at the end of my bed with the NFL Red Zone in the fall. It's not a deterrent. You have to choose in that environment to be a bit different person and then want to get out. There's a lot that say they want to get out, but they just go right back. Most people do. I'm the exception. That's what you think the scariest part about being in prison, the fact that you become okay with it.
We're visiting with Ryan Leaf here on 97.3 The Fan. Ryan, last weekend had to be so exciting for you and your family. I saw a picture of you and your young son down on the field. You had your number, retired, and you went into the Washington State Hall of Fame. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, just a really special honor. Friday night I got to address the committee and my family and things like that, and I pretty much told them that it must have been difficult some years, you know, because you believe that the athlete deserved to be there, but the man just didn't live up to it. And that's why I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be inducted now, because it wouldn't have been possible if it weren't for the last 4.5 years of work we did. And it's an opportunity to celebrate that team, that 97 team that was really, really special. I was really, really grateful to have my family there, be a part of a wonderful night, and then follow it up by being able to be my son on the football field on Saturday. And now that that's done, though, we can move on, and it's no longer about me, but it's rather me in a new job where I get to tell these amazing stories rather than being the story of these young men who play college football in this country.
Hey, Ryan, tell me a little bit about your fiance, because I know the article I was reading, she had no idea who Ryan Leaf was when you guys first started dating. She had no idea that you'd been a football player.
No, she didn't. I went up to watch my brother work. He's an actor and director, and he was directing this pilot. And he wanted me to come up and watch him work one day. So I did. And I came up and watched, and this woman walked in, and she was acting on the show that day. And she's this beautiful, you know, 6'1" woman. And I thought to myself, well, there probably isn't a lot of guys as tall as her, so she's going to notice me. But I was newly out of prison. Right. So like within like 15 minutes of meeting her, you know, I pretty much told her, hey, so I just got out of prison. And, you know, because you can Google me if you want to. You can Google most people, but the first thing that usually pops up when you see my face is a mugshot. And so you always want to be truthful and honest. And it's actually something that endeared her to me in that she just, you know, she sees me as an honest person. And I'm defined as that to her, which anybody who knows me before all this wouldn't have that thought process, wouldn't think of me that way. So she has no real interest in football. She loves that I get to do this for a living because I enjoy it. But it's not like she's watching me broadcast games or watching the game. And, you know, she allowed Friday night to happen because it was a big honor. But she's like, you know, we can make this about you tonight, but tomorrow it's back to changing diapers and helping me. And that's fine with me.
That's great stuff. Ryan Leaf, nice enough to join me today here on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, tell me a little bit about this podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Yeah, my friend and I, about a year ago, we were thinking about ways to, you know, put more content out there. We were trying to figure out ways for me to do a podcast. And he had a great idea about, why don't we put together a network kind of that touches all the interesting content in Los Angeles, the Dodgers, the Bruins, the Trojans. And then we thought about like The Bachelor and yoga and all this stuff. And so we started a podcast network called Believe Podcast Network. And we have 110 shows right now. I even do one with a young man, Jonathan Rifkin, who's just out of college himself, wanting to get into this business. We do one on the Pac-12 conference, football mostly. I don't know if we'll go as deep into basketball or baseball and stuff in the off season, but yeah, so we do that twice a week. It comes out Tuesdays and Thursdays, and just, you know, really excited to see it grow and the way it's grown and the young people out there that want to be a part of something and tell stories. I think it's pretty special. So it's been a really unique journey so far. Something that Braun, who's my partner, and I really, really enjoyed doing with this, and we're seeing the growth, and I get to talk about college football, which is something I always love to do.
Oh, that's great. Ryan Leaf joining us today on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, I know a couple of weeks ago you were calling that upset, Georgia State going into Knoxville and knocking off Tennessee there, and you got a chance to visit with Peyton Manning. You guys are always going to be linked, okay? Number one, number two draft picks in 1998. I think you've all, from what I know, you have always had a really good relationship with Peyton. What did you guys talk about?
Yeah, we talked about our kids, you know. I think that, you know, we're both 43-year-old dads now. We're retired from football and essentially both working for ESPN. And I think it was a really good way to look at things, that no matter how meteoric his career was and how up and down mine was, if you can still be in a peaceful place at the same time. And I think that's it's a important inspiration, I think, for people out there who are still struggling. But, you know, Peyton's always been an unbelievable person. It's probably the first person I could probably resent, but I just don't, because he's been a special person in my life. We've known each other for 25 years, and it was great to see him, and I got to meet his son, and I'm excited. I like watching his show, Peyton's Places, on ESPN+. I think he's really funny, and he's got this dry wit about him that a lot of people maybe don't necessarily get to see. They get to see a lot of it on his TV show.
Hey, what do you think of your Washington State Cougars this year? Mike Leach really got that thing going up there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. You know, they're still not getting probably the respect they deserve. I think they're really special. I think they're going to be a better football team this year even than they were last year when they won a school record 11 wins. This year, the only problem is their road schedule is just so brutal. They have to play a very difficult road schedule because they might be a better football team this year. Their schedule just may not represent that when it's all said and done.
How about Gardner Minshew? He comes off the bench the other day for Nick Foles and ends up throwing for like 275 yards. He looked pretty good.
No, he looked really good. I made a joke. Somebody reached out to me asked if I'd reached out to Gardner Minshew and talked about his, now that he'll be starting quarterback. And I said, well, I don't think Gardner needs much input from me. He's already thrown as many touchdown passes as I did my rookie year in one game. So he's got it going just fine.
Hey, Ryan, last question for you. What game you got this week?
I am scheduled to head to Texas A&M. They got a, you know, a reasonable cupcake game against an FCS opponent in Lamar. But they are coming off that, you know, that very physical big loss to Clemson last week. One of a game they easily could have been in if they didn't make, you know, mistakes early on. So it'll be my first trip to Kyle Field for a game. I can't wait to see the 100,000 plus in attendance, midnight yell. It's going to be a neat environment for me.
Hey, Ryan, thanks so much for coming on. I'm glad you're doing well. And I think a lot of people that knew you here in San Diego knew that you were going to get this thing right. You've gotten it right. And best of luck to you and your family.
No, I appreciate that, Coach. Thanks very much for having me.
Look forward to doing it again. You take care, my friend.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Ryan Leaf joined us for a few minutes. Again, he's got a lot of things going. He's a football analyst for ESPN, works on ESPNU, ESPN
host of the Believe in the Pac-12
and all football podcast on the Believe podcast network. So he's got a lot of things going. He's got a young son about, I think he's 23 months old. He's engaged to the mother of his child. And that was cool that she had no idea who he was and how, boom, right when he got out of prison, he met this lady and, you know, confessed everything to her. And now they're going to be getting married. So that's a really cool story. And, you know, boy, I'll tell you what, he was a handful when he was here in San Diego. I can tell you that, having been on the air Monday through Friday, every day it was something different. But I'm glad the young man got his life together. Let's get to Coach's Corner.
Coach Ken Terra breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3, The Fan.
What's up, Coach?
How'd you like that interview, Adam?
I find him to be very intriguing. I've met him several times.
Yep.
I think he's really changed.
Yeah, he has.
Let's get right at it.
Number one.
In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Kevin Durant opened up about his relationship with Oklahoma City and the Thunder organization. Durant said people in OKC spray-painted the for sale signs in his neighborhood, burned his jersey, and have been venomous towards him despite him making charitable contributions to the community. KD said that people in the organization ignored him and were mad when he returned, with the Warriors that is, and while at one point he wanted to return to the Thunder organization, he'll never be attached to that city again. Do you blame Oklahomans and the Thunder organization for being so mad about KD leaving?
Well, I'll tell you, I think a lot of fans nowadays, because of social media, and I think they cross the line. You know, I understand fans being upset. I don't know if I spent $150 on a jersey that I would burn it in the street. And as far as the organization, when he goes back there as a visiting team, they don't have to greet him with open arms and give him a big hug and kiss. I mean, he's just another player coming in. The guy had a great career there. There's no question about it. He left on less than great terms. But, you know, I think fans are probably out of line. I also think Durant's a little bit too sensitive, though.
Number two.
Andrew Marchand of the New York Post asked Urban Meyer what circumstances would have to happen for him to return to the sidelines. And Meyer replied, quote, "I'm not even there. I'm not even in that space. My focus is being the best for my employer at Fox." Do you believe Urban Meyer isn't thinking about returning to coach?
Well, when he was answering this, was his nose growing like Pinocchio? I guarantee you, he already knows where he'd like to go. He probably already knows the guys he's going to hire and the people that are going to run the weight program and everything else. I'm not convinced. Urban Meyer's been a liar all along the road. He's one hell of a coach. He's a hell of a coach, but he's a liar.
Number three.
Noah Syndergaard reportedly was livid when he found out he'd be pitching to catcher Wilson Ramos and confronted manager Mickey Callaway and GM Brody Van Wagenen. Thor has a 5.09 ERA when throwing to Ramos and a 2.45 ERA when pitching to Tomas Nito. Ramos is a significantly better offensive catcher than Nito, despite being the inferior defensive catcher. Sound familiar?
Yeah, it does. And you hear that from time to time. It's like the old days there with the Atlanta Braves, a team that you knew pretty well as a kid growing up in that part of the country, where Maddox and those guys didn't want to throw to Javi Lopez. Maddox always threw to Eddie Perez, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. So my question to you is, should Noah Syndergaard have the right to choose his catcher?
Well, you know what? Noah Syndergaard has the right to shake off a pitch he doesn't want to throw. It tells me that there's probably more to this than just a high ERA with Ramos behind the plate. And believe me, he's a much better hitter. He just recently had a 24-game hitting streak. You're trying to get into the wild card. Shut up and pitch, Syndergaard.
Number four.
According to Yahoo Sports, LeBron James reached out to the Lakers brass as soon as the Anthony Davis trade happened to tell them it was imperative that Davis be the focal point of the offense. Do you believe AD or LeBron should be the Lakers' offensive focal point?
Yeah, I think it definitely should be Anthony Davis. I think LeBron is going to get his point. Believe me, LeBron's going to get his 20-plus points per night. There's no question about that. But, you know, he doesn't want to work all that hard. He has to work awful hard trying to get to the basket as he's gotten older. He's not quite as quick. And believe me, if you can get the ball inside, establish post play offensively, it's going to make it a lot easier for LeBron on the outside.
Number five.
Odell Beckham Jr. made waves when he wore a $350,000 Richard Mille watch during Sunday's game against the Titans, which violated NFL uniform policies. The league is expected to address it with OBJ, but not discipline him. According to Cleveland.com, Beckham plans to continue wearing the watch and said that this is only becoming an issue because he was the one who wore it, and there wouldn't be an issue if it were a $20 watch. Do you agree with OBJ that it's getting so much attention because he's at the center of it?
No, I don't think any athlete should be wearing a watch in athletic competition. I mean, that watch, by the way, it was team colors. It looked pretty good, actually. I'm not sure how the officials missed it. Maybe they didn't miss it. Maybe they just didn't want to confront Odell Beckham Jr. about it. I think it could hurt another player on another team or even his team cut their arm if he were to, you know, drag that across their arm. So, you know, if he wants to wear it, he needs to put a wristband over it.
And this one is over.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
On 97.3, The Fan.
All right, some good stuff on that. Boy, you know, Adam, I was looking at hockey and basketball. We're not that far away from training camps opening.
What sport was that? Hockey?
Hockey and basketball.
Hockey?
Yeah.
Coach.
I heard you were a really good goalie as a youngster.
No, thank you. Hockey.
You weren't like into the Atlanta Thrashers?
No.
No? Okay. You know, we do have a hockey team here in San Diego, the San Diego Gulls, and they get 10,000-12,000 fans a night.
Could have fooled me.
Huh? I'm going to get you out to a hockey game. We're going to get Adam out to a hockey game this year. Hey, I want to get some response to the Raider game last night. John Gruden, by the way, people didn't make a big deal out of it. I think they mentioned it once on the broadcast. That was John Gruden's 100th career regular season win last night. And he got it on opening night against the Denver Broncos. If you're a Raiders fan, I want to hear from you. And if you're a Broncos fan, what about John Elway? John Elway just can't get it right now there in Denver. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coach John Quintero, 1 hour in, two to go, and then we'll get you Gwynn and Chris at 3 o'clock today. Coach John Quintero back with hour number two next on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.